Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome to Horse Hour. I'm Amy Stevenson. Today we're talking strangles. You would have heard a previous episode where we talk about the signs, the symptoms and the treatment of strangles. But today Andy joins us from Red Wings Horse Sanctuary because sadly they had a strangles outbreak, so they know how to deal with it. And Andy's going to share some advice of things that worked well for them and also the results of a survey they put together to help prevent future outbreaks of strangles. This is Horse Hour. Now, if you remember, a few weeks ago, I went to the National Equine Forum and you heard from lots of really, really great speakers there on all about educating the industry. So we had Sue Dyson, who was talking about saddle fitting. We had Josh Slater, who was on one of the panels. And the person that we're speaking to today is Andy Villela, who she was a guest speaker. She was on the panel with Josh. And Andy is Education and Campaigns Manager at Red Wings Horse Sanctuary. How are you, Andy?
Hi, yeah, I'm great. Thanks so much for inviting me to talk to you.
Oh, I've been wanting to talk to you for ages. I mean, can you talk us through what you did at the National Equine Forum, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a really exciting opportunity for us because we got to present the findings of our strangles survey. The strangles survey was born out of our own outbreak that we had in 2015. And as a charity, we just felt that having had that experience, we really wanted to help horse owners beyond the sanctuary, improve their biosecurity as much as we can based on our experience. But to do that, we really wanted to know more about what do they know, what do they do, how do they feel about strangles and biosecurity or reducing risk against the disease. So yeah, we did this survey in 2016 and the National Equine Forum was our opportunity to share the results. It was really great.
It was brilliant. You and I caught up in a little room earlier just before you went on, and bless you, you were so nervous, but you did a great job. It was brilliant.
I know, it was very new to me and I was so honoured to be on a panel with Professor Josh Slater, who's talking about EHV, and thankfully our messages complemented each other nicely, so it was really good.
And he's so lovely too. You can actually hear the chat with Josh. If you go to our website horsehour.co.uk, you can listen to the interview with him, and he explains in detail about strangles and EHV, which is the equine herpes virus. It all sounds very, very horrible, Andy, and we're trying to really understand strangles. So we've done a few episodes on what is it and how can you overcome it, what are the signs, the symptoms and the treatments, but I'm really fascinated to know your case study because you're living proof of finding it, of dealing with it and getting rid of it.
That's exactly what we are. We had an outbreak where during one of our routine checks we identified a horse in a field in our resident herd. So these are our horses that have come into sanctuary through our ordinary quarantine and screening process, so they're clear of any infectious disease. And during a routine check, one of our farm team members identified a horse with a snotty nose. And as with any illness that's identified amongst our herd, the immediate thing is to record it and to call a vet. Mm. Thankfully, with the knowledge of the disease, we were able to put the horses into precautionary quarantine straight away, which meant that everybody on the farm was now hand washing, and just observing the general quarantine procedures, which we can talk about later if you would like. And then obviously the vet arrived, took the tests, and within about 24 hours of the initial test being taken, unfortunately, we'd confirmed a positive case of strangles. And actually, within that same routine check, but on a separate field, there was another horse identified and was also strangles positive.
Let's just look at this. Well, first of all, from a charity point of view, you have so many horses on that on your land. Trying to control something like that. Hats off the lady that spotted it straight away, because a snotty nose, I probably would have said, oh, it's just a bit cold. The fact that she picked it up so quickly is amazing.
I think what was great was that we don't have any fear about putting something in precautionary quarantine. It doesn't mean that it is infective. It just means that we're reducing the risk of, if there is an infection there, it's not going to spread to other horses. So that's what she was able to do straight away. But yeah, in terms of how it affected us, obviously the risks for us are huge. We are different to many yards. We had almost 400 horses on that particular farm. And although we have a large proportion of them have been exposed to the disease and treated and so have some level of resistance, we also do have horses that are born within sanctuary as well. So there is a particular risk for those naive horses who would definitely catch the disease. So we really wanted to prevent them from catching the disease, and also for any other infections of horses which had low immunity to it. And the other risks to the charity, of course, we've got horse movements on and off the yard. This was a farm that's not connected to our horse hospital or our retraining and rehoming facility, but we are moving horses between these farms. So we wanted to really be quite quick to contain the disease to make sure it didn't spread to one of our other 10 locations. So once we identified the horse, very quick, because we have essentially is a diary of horse movements for every horse, we know where it's been. We were able to say, get track back over 3 weeks and put in precautionary quarantine for any horse that had potential contact with the strangles positive horse.
Wow.
So it meant we could put quarantines we had quarantines dotted over that farm because of the potential contact with Cal there. And we also had a precautionary quarantine at our horse hospital because one of the horses had been for sarcoid surgery previous time the meet week. So, yes, it affected our operations there. And then we put our visitor centre in Essex under quarantine, which obviously had huge impact on our fundraising capacity, because one of the horses was going down there to be rehomed that had potential contact again with the infected horse. So, as you can see, it, very quickly, from the moment of identifying the horse, we went into, let's stop horse movements and let's identify where we need to put in these amber quarantines.
And that poor lady that was going to rehome the horse, what did she do? Was she just on hold for a little bit?
Thankfully, at the stage in the process, the horse hadn't yet gone to the web. It had just met our veterinary approval and our behavioural approval. So it was going down to the visitor centre to be trained, and we would have then found somebody to take on that horse. So we were very lucky that there was no disappointment there.
Because that would have been heartbreaking, wouldn't it? You're just about to take home a pony and then you realise, well, actually, it could have strangles. But then that's part of it. This is what's so lovely about you coming on and talking to us today is that if it can happen to you, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah, I think that's right. And one of the things is that also Josh mentioned in your other podcast is really this is about minimizing risk. We can't eliminate it completely, but the practices we adopt to reduce the spread of strangles and to eliminate strangles will actually help us improve our horses' health across the board, because they're good practices anyway to prevent spread of other infections, be it ringworm, be it infectious diseases like flu or other things. They're actually just good practices to protect health of our horses. So
So from then, you know, you've quarantined, you've done everything you can. How did he get better? Did the horse get better?
Yeah, Cal is better, and he is on the cover of our strangle survey report. He's the proud picture at the very front of the report. He's absolutely fine. He was in quarantine for, I think, over a month in the end. But as with all the horses that were, we had 30 horses that were actually infected during the outbreak. All of them have recovered. And importantly, all of them were screened clear of the disease after their recovery so that we could be sure that they wouldn't cause future infections by becoming carriers. Mm. So Cal and Smarty and Maggie Moose and all of these other horses that were sadly infected were treated and recovered to full health and then screened.
In terms of the cost, Andy, does this, it sounds like this cost a lot of money for Red Wings.
Absolutely, and I'd like to also say that our supporters have been fantastic. We had to launch an appeal to support us financially. In the first month alone, the additional expenditure for our outbreak, which went on tests and disinfectant and things, was an additional £27,000 in the first month alone.
Gosh. Yeah.
So to put it in context, our monthly operations of our quarantine yard, so that's just what we do on a, in a routine way, that a routine basis, that would cost us normally around £8,000 a month. So you can see that the outbreak in 1 month was several times the amount of money of our day-to-day running costs of quarantine, which are enormous figures. You know, no other yard would probably have that scale of expenditure, but certainly it definitely makes day-to-day biosecurity value for money.
Well, yeah, but the amount of horses that were infected were 30 horses. I mean, out of 400, that's a lower percentage, which is brilliant. But there are many yards that have 30 horses that the horses could all have touched each other, that could have that £27,000 expenditure for having to deal with 30 horses that have strangles. So realistically, this could really affect anybody. I mean, well, thank you to the supporters, because obviously without them, what would happen?
Yeah, it was really good response that we had from them. The 30 horses that were infected, we actually tested 501 horses. So the scale of the expenditure was actually reflected more in the number of horses we needed to test to ensure that the outbreak wasn't spreading or didn't spread. On a yard with, say, 200 horses, or even with 50 horses, if you have one horse that's confirmed with strangles, it's definitely value for money to just put any horses that have had in contact with that horse into quarantine, test them and make sure that you know, stop the spread before it goes beyond. Because the other thing was, is it wasn't just that farm, but it affected other farms and could have potentially affected other, our own staff have their own horses, you know, at home. And so we were really conscious that we didn't want the outbreak to then lead to further outbreaks in the community. So that's why it was so important for us to make that investment to prevent the spread.
Mm. Well, now I understand why we've got this fear of the outbreak. We call it the outbreak. Before talking to you and Josh and I spoke to B&W Equine Vets as well. We did a detailed podcast on it. I kind of thought there was this fear. It's a fear. You know, we're very afraid of strangles. But seeing how quickly it can develop, I'm not surprised we're scared of it. It is important to be proactive and to know what we're looking for. So the survey that you did then, what did you find in that? Was this before or after the outbreak you decided to do that?
This was after the outbreak, and one of the key findings really was that people who haven't had experience of strangles or an outbreak tend to have more fearful view of it, because as experience dictates, you realise that this is quite a manageable thing to do in practice, as did our staff, for example, who managed the outbreak on a day-to-day basis. It comes down to being kind of confident that you understand basic biosecurity, so hand washing between horses, making sensible decisions around doing the horse care for the infected horse last after you've done the horse care for your uninfected horses. And I think once people have had that experience, they are more confident in it. We also found quite interestingly that those that have experience of strangles, as well as being more confident, they're actually more likely and more willing to pay to have their horse screened clear of the disease than people who haven't had experience of strangles, which is really important if we want to put an end to this disease once and for all, we need to be committed to ensure that new infections don't become carriers, because then we can really stamp it out and stop the disease in its tracks.
It makes me laugh, Andy, that we call it biosecurity. I'd really love to change the name, because it sounds like, you know, chemical warfare. I'd love to change the name to disease management, I think, because that's what it's coming down to, isn't it? We're trying to manage infectious diseases.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, it's just reducing risk at the end of the day. It's just what can you do to reduce the risk of your horse catching an infectious disease? Biosecurity is probably too dramatic a term, really, for hand washing.
So what happened with the survey then? What sort of questions did you have on there?
We had a huge response. The survey was a long and broad survey asking about people's knowledge about the disease, their attitudes and their practices. And we had a really good cross-section of the horse-owning public respond, including people who do competitive eventing, as well as those who are leisure owners, all-rounders. We basically sort of gauged how important is strangles to horse owners, and we could see from the huge response, we had almost 5,000 people click on the link and take part in the survey, and over 2,000 people complete the full survey. And we know that from the survey, we know that strangles is a big concern to horse owners. It's comparable to lameness or laminitis and colic, and we also know that, well, probably thanks to people like you, that they have very good knowledge of the clinical signs of the disease, and they actually have quite good knowledge of biosecurity steps that need to be taken. But for some reason, we still have a problem where there's very low levels of screening on yards for new arrivals. So we're only 13% of people on livery yards reported any kind of screening for new arrivals.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you know, on that note, I've had to fight, like literally fight with the owner of the yard, my yard, because he won't let us isolate horses, new horses, when they come in. He expects them to go straight into the field, which I find really frustrating, because we've got, say you've got 1 5-acre field, the new horse just goes straight into it. Well, they can touch the horses in the field next on both sides. So I kind of feel even fencing off an area might not be enough, because, you know, it's still in the same field. It kind of, it's in within air touching distance.
I know. Well, I mean, your experience is definitely reflected in our survey. 80% of the survey respondents said they'd even be willing to pay more to their livery yard owner if screening could be put in place for new arrivals. So your experience of sort of lobbying your yard manager to make that provision is definitely something that we're seeing. So we need to understand more, why are livery yard managements not putting this in place? What are the disincentives? Because it seems to me that it would be win-win, because you are showing how you're protecting clients on the yard from potential diseases.
Any good livery owner, any good business owner that cares for the horses and the well-being of the riders and their customers should be implementing all these actions. So I do have to say, I didn't actually fight with the livery owner. I didn't, like, you know, there weren't any hits or anything. But it was a heated debate as to, I had to really fight my call.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Corner as to why I thought it was so valuable to be able to separate these horses. And in the end, we've done it ourselves. We've separated them by triple fencing, which might sound a little bit crazy, but after hearing about all the strangles and horses can come with anything, you know, I'm not prepared to take the risk. I love my horse too much. So yeah, any kind of any good livery yard should be implementing these, and there should be a strategy. There's a riding school that I know does this amazingly well. Every new horse that comes onto the yard goes in its own field, separate from the others, for 2 weeks.
So they've got this kind of quarantine period, and in that time they can also do a fecal worm egg count, and they can, you know, monitor its vital signs just for that period of time. I mean, it makes sense for parasite management as well. You know, you don't, just like in your case, you don't want to bring a horse onto a yard and mess up your strategic worming program by not having had its worm burden dealt with before it joins other horses in the field. So yeah, it's a win-win scenario, but I do think we need to understand better why is it that there's not a social norm now amongst livery yards to quarantine and to screen for infectious disease?
Well, some horses don't like to be by themselves, so I guess that, you know, that could be a slight issue. I'd always try and think of both reasons as to why they wouldn't be able to do it. But as long as they can see other horses, it's only, I mean, generally it only needs to be for a few days, doesn't it? It doesn't have to be 2 weeks. That is the extreme, but even minimal 3 days, do you think, maximum? Make the minimal.
This is a practical, a gold standard really would be 3 weeks, actually, just because this relates to the incubation period. So if a horse had been infected or exposed to the disease the day before it comes to the new yard, then 3 weeks allows you to be sure that it hasn't been infected. I mean, 3 weeks would be the time you would need to be safe that hasn't developed signs or become infected with the disease. But I think the issue here is because, you know, we also found that people would be less willing to put their horses into quarantine when they return from events. And Josh made a really good point in your podcast. Unlike kind of the farming industry, the horse industry is about movement. It's about taking your horse, enjoying your horse at events or wherever you want to go. And that doesn't always, you can't just enjoy your horse in your yard in isolation. So I think the one thing we'd say is what steps can you take to minimize the risk given those decisions you're making? Is there one more step you can do? Like, for example, monitoring temperature of your horse when you come back from events, just so that if you do note that spike in fever, then again you can put that precautionary quarantine in place, which even though you're in your own field, you can just say to people, you know, I've noticed my horse is got a fever, until I get that investigated and cleared, please don't touch my horse, don't use my equipment, you know. And that's your precautionary quarantine measures, simples.
And it's getting rid of this stigma, isn't it? It's okay. I mean, it's preventative, and that's so important. And rather than the fear, I think, is if you might have strangles, and I'd really love to be able to just get rid of this fear altogether, is, oh, you're embarrassed, but you can't do anything about it. It's not that person's fault. It's much better to be proactive and precautionary than it is to worry about it after you've actually got strangles. But I think sometimes we worry about other people and what other people think a lot, and we worry that, you know, we might be being a little bit dramatic. I know I do all the time, because I'm, you know, slightly hypochondriac and slightly dramatic person, but ultimately it's only because I care about my horse. And I would 100 times rather say, I'm a bit worried, his temperature's up, he doesn't really look right, it might just be having a bad day, but everybody else be aware, than ignore it. Let my horse, I think it's irresponsible to just let your horse go out thinking there might be something wrong.
I think that's exactly what the issue of stigma is, something we definitely need to stamp out when it comes to strangles, because really that is what keeps people quiet. And actually, if people feel able to say, I've got my horse in precautionary quarantine at the moment and I'm going to have a vet see it, please can you not touch and not share my equipment, and just, you know, keep yourself to yourself. Mm. You're actually being the responsible one.
Yeah.
You're the one you can feel confident, you know, you're doing the best by your own horse and everybody else there. So, but this stigma, this anxiety about revealing a concern is what then delays action. People then think, oh, I'll wait until I'm sure that he's got the disease before I say anything. Well, in that period of time, that's where spread can happen. And so we want to, if we can stamp out the stigma and encourage people to talk about the potential for infectious disease, then people will see it much more as part of responsible management, just as a normal day-to-day part of our conversations about how we look after our horse's health.
Yes. So with the survey, what else did you find that we can help with? Like, what can we learn from it?
One of the things I would say is that we found that of those who've had a strangles outbreak, had a horse with strangles, 20% of them didn't know if their horse was a carrier or not. Mm. And a further 20% around that said that they knew their horse could have been a carrier. So no. what that means is that if of all the infections taking place, around 40% of those people don't know either way if their recovered horse could cause future infections. So what we're really saying to people is, you know, if you do have a horse with strangles, when the horse has recovered, ask your vet, can my horse be a carrier? Because if they do that and the vet can say, no, your horse can't be a carrier, it's strangles free, we will stamp out this disease.
Yeah.
Because that is the way to put an end to it. The reason it's pops up every now and again is because we have these carriers in the horse population in the UK who shed the disease.
How bad is it though that 20% of people know that their horse could be a carrier and they haven't done anything about it?
Only 70% of the strangles survey respondents knew that a horse that recovered from strangles could still cause future infections if it hadn't been treated by a vet, i.e. Okay. cleared of being a carrier. So that means that 30%, around 30% of our respondents didn't know that carriers exist. Now, if people don't know that a horse that's been infected with the disease could become a carrier, then they don't even know that it's important to get a vet involved to ensure that it doesn't cause future infections. Mm. So it's really about promoting knowledge that if your horse has strangles, it needs to see a vet to be treated and cleared of the disease so that it doesn't go on to cause future outbreaks.
So it doesn't become a carrier.
Yes, it doesn't become a carrier because a carrier horse, I mean, putting it into context, our screening process at Red Wings, the new horses that came in, bit to Red Wings in the last 5 years, 47 of them had no clinical signs of strangles. They were identified as strangles positive because they were carriers of the disease, which meant that if we hadn't identified that they were carriers, we would have admitted them into our sanctuary because they look otherwise not to be suffering from the disease, and they could have caused outbreaks like the one we experienced in 2015. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to prevent horses from becoming carriers. And and if yards could help us by identifying carriers through a screening process and then ensuring owners have treatments and prevent that and the treatment for being a carrier, then we will actually eradicate the disease.
Without being too negative, I do feel that there is one really big problem in all this that mm-hmm. I can see, and that's that you guys are taking on rescue horses every day. You still have to rescue all these poor horses that aren't looked after. If the horses aren't looked after properly, and we're doing everything that we can as yard owners and horse owners to properly look after our horses, is there a risk that we're not going to be able to stamp this out because there's still going to be a percentage of people that aren't looking after their horses properly, that don't know or don't care about strangles and the outbreak? If they can't even feed their horse, they're definitely not going to get it screened for strangles, you know?
Well, that's where I think owners on yards come into into play. Not just like you, Amy, if you say to, if you explain to your yard management that screening and quarantine is something you want to see as a service user, you want to see that to protect your horses, then no matter which horses come onto that yard, they will all be identified just like they are at Red Wings as carriers, and then treated, and they can go on and live full and happy lives like the rest of any horse. I think, yes, strangles, some people will always not care about strangles, but if the majority of us do, and we put in place the processes, the protocols to identify carriers and treat them, then we will see a reduction in the prevalence of the disease.
Oh, brilliant. Well, that's what we want.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully improve biosecurity against other diseases at the same time.
Oh, well, that would be a double bonus, wouldn't it? If only the government would just come up with, I mean, they come up with vaccinations for all sorts of things. Why can't they just come up with like an immunity one? That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think that everybody's working hard to
are they trying to do that?
certainly trying to get vaccinations for strangles and things like that. But yeah, it would be great if there was a magic bullet, but unfortunately, at least there's willingness. That's what our survey found. There's a willingness and an interest to address this disease. So
that's brilliant. A great start. That is really good. And what can we do to help? Can we do anything? I know that we've got our, you know, we can do our precautions, which we've talked about before, but yeah, can we educate? Can we, without being lecherous horse owners?
Yeah, no, I think, well, first of all, maybe arrange with your yard to have a really informal discussion amongst all the yard livery clients and talk about biosecurity. Like, what would you do if there was an outbreak? Maybe just even throw it out. What if one of the horses here had a snotty nose? What would you guys do? How would you react? We found it really useful to have already had that kind of prior thinking time, having had that, gone through that thought process, so that when it happens, if it happens, it doesn't cause a furore. You can think, well, we thought this through, we know what we do, we've got electric tape here to create a perimeter, we've got foot dip and disinfectant in the tack room, and we've got the number of the vet on hand who will lead us in our management of an outbreak. So I think, yeah, I would say if you're on a yard and you want to know what to do, maybe ask to have that conversation. What's the biosecurity like on your yard, and what would you do if a horse was suspected to have an infectious disease?
Can you remember how much it is? Like, not obviously every vet's different, but just to get your horse tested to see if it's a carrier?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So what you would, you either want to get a blood test done, two blood tests, 2 weeks apart, or guttural pouch scoping. So, or each, I can't tell you an average cost, but you can easily contact your vets. Vets are very sort of proactive in providing advice about biosecurity. So,
Is there an average? Is it like £40? I know each one's different, but just kind of an average price.
It would be one call-out fee plus the period of time that it takes for that vet to do the procedure. And a guttural pouch scoping could be done, in theory, within 15 minutes. I mean, our team here do it, our vets here do it regularly. And it's not necessarily the most common procedure for equine vets to be doing. But, yeah, it's a case of the vet coming, call-out fee, the sedation, and then the time it takes for the vet to do the procedure. Most vets now do have a video scope or an endoscope that would be able to do it.
Oh, that's good. Because, well, the thing with that is I wouldn't want to put my horse through that if I didn't need to. So that's why a blood test is so great. So when they come and give them the vaccinations, the vet could take a blood test at the same time, couldn't they?
Yeah, well, a blood test is definitely the starting point, because you can see the raised antibody level. So you can see if the horse has been exposed to the disease. And then that would give you an indication whether it's worth having the endoscopy just to see what's going on inside the guttural pouch. And you can, that's when you'd get the test to see if there was any active strangles inside the horse. And that can be flushed at that time.
Oh, wow, that's good. So it can actually be dealt with there and then?
It can be treated there and then, and then later on it would just need one more just to screen it clear.
Ah. Oh, well, Andy, thank you so much.
In typical cases.
Yeah, every case is different.
Yeah.
It's been really interesting. Thank you. I'm sorry to hear that you went through all of that, but I'm kind of glad that you did, because now you can share it with us. And we know that everybody can be okay. The horses can be okay. And yeah. I really appreciate you coming and talking to us today. How can we follow Red Wings Horse Sanctuary?
So you can follow us on Facebook. Obviously, you can follow our Twitter as well. That's at Red Wings HS. Or follow me. That's at Red Wings Andy on Twitter. Also, you can get our Strangles information pack downloaded from our website. But I'm also happy to send those out to anybody who's wants a hard copy. And they include quarantine notices ready prepared. So you can just pin that up if you wanted to put precautionary quarantine in place. And I think follow us on Facebook, and we are 100% publicly funded, so if anyone wants to donate, you can also donate through our website there too.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Andy. See you.
Thanks, Amy. Cheers. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you'd like more information on strangles, then just head to our website, horsehour.co.uk. We've got the education hub with advice, information and what to look out for from both Red Wings Horse Sanctuary and B&W Equine Vets. And as always, if you're worried at all, then just give your vet a call and just have a chat with them on the phone. They're all so keen to stamp out this disease that they'd be happily have a chat with you. And in fact, I had a chat with my vet the other day and said when they come to do his injections, they're just going to have a give him a quick check over, do his heart rate, his pulse, his temperature, things like that. I mean, we need an MOT every now and again, so it's not a bad idea to get your horse to have one too. As always, you can catch up with previous episodes of the Horse Hour podcast on our website. Just head to horsehour.co.uk. It's on iTunes and Acast as well. And we love seeing your stories, so thank you for sharing your pictures and your videos. Use the hashtag Horse Hour on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're on Pinterest, we're on YouTube. There's loads of horsey goodness out there. And this week, I'm heading to the Royal Windsor Horse Show in London. It starts on Wednesday, and I'll be there all week bringing you pictures, backstage interviews and videos too. I hope you have a really good week with your horse, and I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter Mondays 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag Horse Hour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.